Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. If you have your Bible there, we're going to take up in Isaiah 52 and 53 here in just a minute. And we've been talking the last two or three weeks about suffering, and we looked at the trials and tribulations of Job and how he suffered, and how the Lord set up a deal, you might say, or made a deal with Satan to allow Satan to attack Job and tear into Job and take all of his possessions, take his family, his 10 children. The only thing that he was left of his family was his wife. And she too encouraged Job to give up his faith, to curse God and die, but Job was steadfast. Job kept his faith. He kept his strength up by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. Job kept his strength and kept his faith, and he said, even if he slays me, even if God slays me, still will I trust him. Even if it costs me my life, even if I go to the death for the Lord, still will I trust you. And so this is a good teaching for us. It's a good lesson for us, because there may be times coming in the future when we too will be tested in severe ways, when we too will have to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and it may cost us a great persecution. It may cost us even physical harm to ourselves, to our family. It may cost us physical harm to our own body, maybe even to the point of death. And so we need to understand that walk with the Lord is not an easy walk. We need to understand that when we confess our faith in Jesus Christ, that we are identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ, and we are also identifying ourselves with his suffering. And Paul said in Romans 8:29 that those that he foreknew, he was talking about those that God foreknew, which is all of us. God foreknew us. He knew us before we were born. He knew us before we were formed in the womb. That those that he foreknew, that he predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so if we are predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus is our model, that we identify with Jesus, that we are buried with him in baptism, that we are resurrected with him as we come up out of the waters of baptism. The baptism is symbolic of our death, burial, and our resurrection in Jesus Christ. And so we are totally identified with Jesus Christ, and we are clothed with Christ. And so we put on Christ as our clothing. And so when you do that, brothers and sisters, that's going to bring you into a place where you are going to be a target of the enemy, just as Job was a target of the enemy. Job, unbeknownst to him, was the prime target for Satan himself. And so great suffering came into Job's life, and his friends betrayed him. Job was sitting out there at the county dump on a pile of ashes with sackcloth on and dust on his head, and he had boils from bottom of his feet to the top of his head, and he was suffering in an incredible way, in an unmerciful, you might say, an unmerciful way. And yet he did not renounce the Lord. He did not recant his faith in the Lord. And so that is what God wants you to do. He wants to strengthen your faith, that no matter what comes your way, that you will still stand with the Lord in your faith, that you will still confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will still say, even if he slay me, even if God slay me, the sovereign God who is in control of my life, the sovereign God who knows what is best for me, even if he slay me, that still will I trust him. And brothers and sisters, you have to understand that this earth is not our home, that we're just passing through here. And when you start to get a grasp of that, that this earth is not our home, that our home is in heaven for all eternity. And when you start to get a grasp of that, then you can understand that the sufferings of this life, the sufferings of this temporal existence here on this earth, are just that. They're temporary. They're going to pass. Your reward is going to be in heaven, and your reward will be given to you and will be lavished upon you for all eternity. Well, before we go to Isaiah, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, a couple of passages from Philippians, and this is Brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, who suffered mightily for the kingdom of God. He says here in Philippians 3, verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And so Paul says there, I've suffered the loss of all things, I've given it all up. And so Paul, we know, was sent out as a missionary in the 13th chapter of Acts. The Holy Spirit spoke to a group of men there and says, send out Paul and Barnabas, or set aside Paul and Barnabas for the ministry that I've called them to do, or the mission that I've called them to do. And so Paul had given up all things. He was raised as a Jew, he was raised as a Benjamite, and he was raised probably in a fairly privileged condition. He had great teaching and great education, but he says that all the things that I've gained, everything that I have accumulated, my physical possessions or material possessions, all the intellect that I've gained through study, and everything that has been accumulated by me, he says, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. And so Paul is saying, I don't count those things as having any worth, those things that came from the world, those things that were given to me apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ and apart from my relationship with Jesus Christ. I count all those things as rubbish. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And so Paul says that my main goal in life, my only goal in life, and as you read through the New Testament and read through the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, and Paul wrote that we now have in our New Testament Bible, that Paul wanted more than anything else on this earth to just know Jesus Christ and to serve Jesus, to know him and to serve him, and the power of his resurrection. In other words, to have the blessing of being resurrected to the kingdom of heaven, being resurrected into the same fellowship as Jesus Christ, who went to sit down at the right hand of God. And so we know that this is our goal, brothers and sisters. This should be our goal, that we too should come to know Jesus, that we should know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, that doesn't sound too enticing to most of us. We don't want to sign up for increased suffering. Most of us probably say, well, this life is difficult enough. This life is hard enough. I struggle with so many things. I struggle with so many issues. And I feel like I'm battered on this side and battered on that. And brothers and sisters, if you're out there today and you feel that way, you're not alone. You're not the only person that feels that way. You're going to get battered, especially if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're going to get battered. But understand this, that Jesus wants to take your burden for you. Even in extreme persecution, Jesus wants to take your burden for you. And he says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him, or cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. And so Jesus, he knows every detail of your life. He knows the trials and the tribulations that you're going through. And in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says that he will not allow a temptation to come upon you that is not common to man. In other words, you're going to be receiving the same type of temptation and the same type of pain and suffering and tribulation that other men on this earth are. But understand this, Jesus wants to carry your burden with you. In Matthew 11, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle at heart, and I will give rest to your weary soul. And then he goes on to say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the yoke that Jesus puts on you, that is yoked over his shoulders and yoked over your shoulders, that yoke is easy and his burden is light. It sits easily on our shoulders, and Jesus wants to yoke up with us, and he wants to yoke up with us so that he can walk us through the trials and the burdens of life, and that we can know the fellowship of his sufferings and still rejoice, and still rejoice. Just like Job said, shall we not take good from God but not take the calamity? Do we only expect the blessing from God but not the hardship that comes with walking with Jesus as our Lord and Savior? And I will say, brothers and sisters, that you can expect to receive the blessings, the peace that comes from walking with Jesus, the peace that passes all understanding, and he will give you wisdom in your daily affairs. He'll give you wisdom in your financial dealings. He will bless your health if you make good decisions about what you put in your body. But there are times also when, just as Job suffered greatly in the flesh, that you too might suffer in the flesh just because you are being tested and tried in your flesh to see if you'll stand fast in your faith and in your commitment to Jesus Christ. Well, that begs the question, all of that, what exactly was the suffering of Jesus Christ? And we're going to take a look at that here in Isaiah 52 and 53. And this Isaiah passage, these passages of Scripture in Isaiah, give us the best prophetic picture of what was to come in the life of Jesus. And of course, these passages were written 650 years before Jesus walked this earth, and so Isaiah was divinely inspired by the Spirit of God. He was divinely inspired to see into the future and to give revelation, and the people who were of Isaiah's day and of his time probably wondered, what's this guy Isaiah talking about? What's he speaking about? Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? People were probably wondering, man, this guy Isaiah is cracked. He's way off in the distant future or whatever he is. I don't know where he's at. But all of these things, every single one of these prophecies came to pass. Every single word that Isaiah spoke about the life of Jesus Christ came to pass. There are still some prophecies of Isaiah that have yet to be fulfilled and have yet to be manifested and on this earth. But they will be literally and fully fulfilled in the days ahead, in the second coming of Christ and the millennial reign. All of these passages of Scripture that Isaiah spoke about will be literally fulfilled, just as these passages in Isaiah 52 and 53 are. Well, in Isaiah 52, starting in verse 13, it says, "Behold, my servant." This is God speaking. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage or his image or his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." And so that was the first talking about Jesus' appearance, and I'm sure this is a prophetic talking about the appearance of Jesus after he had been scourged and after he had been beaten in the face and had the crown of thorns pushed down on his head, and after he had been hung on the cross, his visage or his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And so Isaiah was telling us that his appearance was going to be drastically altered. It was going to be almost impossible to look on him. And if any of you have seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, you know that Jesus, and I'm sure that only gave a partial picture of whatever actually happened to Jesus in the flesh. It just gives us a partial idea of the suffering that he went through, of how his appearance was marred and how his image was distorted and bloodied and beaten, and he was almost unrecognizable in his flesh as he hung there on the cross. And then in Isaiah 53, it says here, revealing more about the prophetic image that is Jesus to come. Isaiah 53:2, "For he grew up before him, he grew up before God as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form or comeliness," or he had no you might say, attractive or splendorous appearance. He had no splendor or attractive appearance. In other words, he was just a common man. That's why he was given the name the Sons of Men, or the Son of Man, because he also, being the Son of God, he was also at the same time on this earth the Son of Man. And in Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And so God is saying that he was going to be despised, he was going to be hated. Jesus himself said this in John 15, verse 18. He said, they hated me, and so they're going to hate you also. And they persecuted me, and they're going to persecute you also. And Timothy tells us that anyone who serves God or anyone who has a godly life, that you're going to suffer and you're going to be persecuted, just as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was persecuted and suffered. And so again, in 53:3, he said, he was despised and rejected by men. Well, men had the choice between Jesus Christ to be delivered to them, to be crucified, or Barabbas, a murderer who was in jail or in prison at the time. They had the choice. The crowd out there, the mob out there, was a bloodthirsty mob, and they were crying for Jesus, and they were crying for him to be delivered to the mob. And they had the choice, because Pilate said to them, who do you want to choose? Who do you want to allow us to release, this murderer Barabbas or this man Jesus Christ? And of course, we know that Jesus was released to the mob, and then he was taken away, and he was crucified. Well, in verse 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And so Isaiah says, prophesied here, that this man, Jesus, he has borne our griefs, he has carried our burdens, and he has carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. In other words, we were glad to let God smite him. We were glad to let God afflict him, because we didn't want to acknowledge that we had sinned. We didn't want to acknowledge that Jesus was carrying our sin on the cross, that Jesus went to the cross to deliver us from sin and to deliver us, and that his precious blood would be spread and shed for us to cover our sins. And so we were glad to put the acknowledgement on God that this was his plan to put this man up there on the cross. But Isaiah then goes on to say in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was on him, and by his stripes we are healed. And so it said he was wounded, and we know that when Jesus was taken to the scourging post, he was scourged. It tells us in Matthew, the 27th chapter, starts in Matthew 26, verse 67, and on up to Matthew 27, chapter, that he was scourged, and that he was spit upon, he was struck by the palms of their hands, that he was scourged. Matthew 27, 26, then he, Pilate, released Barabbas to them, and he had Jesus scourged and delivered him to be crucified. And so Jesus was bruised for our iniquities, he was wounded for our transgressions, the chastisement or the scolding for our peace was upon him. In other words, the peace that we have was placed on the back of Jesus. The peace that we have was placed upon his shoulders. And he was scourged for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, by the scourging that he took, we are healed. And so we know that he was scourged 39 times with the cat of nine tails. He was bleeding near death even at that point, even before he'd started up the hill with his cross. He was bleeding and near death. And so this is just a picture of the suffering of Jesus, a small portrait. You can't really get the whole picture in your mind. I urge you to go see The Passion of the Christ. If you've not seen that movie, you can get it on DVD, I'm sure. And look at that movie. and just get a glimpse, a tiny glimpse, of the way Jesus suffered for you. And Paul said that he wanted to share, he wanted to know Jesus, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. And so when you come to have fellowship in the sufferings of Jesus, when you come to know Jesus in a different way than just rejoicing that he's your Lord and Savior, and I praise God that I can rejoice that he's my Lord and Savior, but I also want to share in the fellowship of the sufferings of Jesus, because then I start to understand what Jesus really did for me. I start to get a glimpse and a grasp of how Jesus really suffered for me, and how he laid his life down on the cross, and he shed his precious blood. Every drop of his precious blood was shed just for me, and I start to have a deeper understanding and an intimacy with Jesus, and a desire to know him and to serve him and to follow him in a deeper way. And I pray that for you today, brothers and sisters. I pray that is your wish today, that you would come to know Jesus, the fellowship of his sufferings. If you've never accepted him, if you've never repented and turned from your wicked ways and asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin, do that today. Repent, turn from your wicked ways, ask the Lord to forgive you, and he will be faithful and true to do that, and he will save you. Follow it up with Christian baptism. Let me know if you make that kind of a decision today. Drop me a line, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and let me know, and I'll be happy to get some material with you, to you, to help you and start you on your Christian walk as you start in your fellowship with Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.